right? Well, who's glad to be in church? We should be glad. Scripture says, let's be glad. And David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. There's something awesome about when you get excited about coming to his house. You see, when you're excited about coming to his house and meeting with him, you will automatically receive. You'll automatically be filled. So come excited, come expecting, come glad to be in his house. I'm glad to be in his house tonight, and I'm glad to get the privilege of sharing his word. I really do enjoy sharing the word of God, and we're going to share again today. We are going to talk again on our series about prayer, and today specifically we're looking at the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. So we've been doing this for a bit now, and we had the series broke up a bit with different things, but we talked about the fact that you need a private prayer time. You need to set a time and a place. How many people have set a time and a place for private prayer? Okay, so if you haven't yet, go ahead, do that this week. Set a time and a place. Then we talked last week about the fact that we can memorize or pray a memorized prayer. And we talked about different kinds of memorized prayer. The Lord's Prayer was a memorized prayer. We talked about praying a song, and we talked about praying scripture. But today we want to look at the prayer of thanksgiving and praise, and we're kind of on a procession here in a way of learning to pray. You see, the first thing you have to do is set a time and place. The next thing, you can memorize something if that helps you. And then I like to take this step. You don't have to memorize being thankful. You just have to be thankful. And when you begin your prayers with thanksgiving and praise, you come in to the presence of the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 100 in verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. David was a worshiper, someone who praised the Lord from his heart. David praised the Lord out in the field with just the sheep. He didn't praise for a show. He praised the Lord. He thanked the Lord, and I believe our worship team does the same. You see, praise and thanksgiving is something that needs to come from the heart. Are you thankful? Do you want to praise him? Because you see, if you're not actually thankful, if you're not actually feeling like praising him, then you're not going to do it. You're like, well, what if I don't feel thankful? Well, I have good news for you. There is always something to be thankful for. Always something you and I can thank the Lord for. I want you to think about it right now, something you can be thankful for. Well, you're breathing. Every one of you are breathing. God gave you that breath. So you automatically have something to be thankful for. Doesn't matter how horrible your day went, your week went. When you get into prayer, you can find something to say thank you for. And when you begin with thanksgiving and praise, yes, you enter his presence. You see, praying thanksgiving and praise is something we can do anytime we feel like it, and it's something that can be part of every prayer. No matter what prayer you have, you can begin with thanking him. You can begin with praising him. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is a good one. Be thankful no matter what. You're like, well, what if things are going bad? Then find something to be thankful for. I'm going to keep going on to give some examples here later, but I want to keep pressing into the message here for a little bit. Let's look at being thankful first, and then a little bit about praising, because those are the two things we can do in prayer. Being thankful is really good for you and I, and of course, Thanksgiving time, I usually preach about being thankful, but thankfulness brings peace. Let me give you that scripture, Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. I better say it again. Don't worry about anything. Anybody worrying right now? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When does his peace come? When we give it to him and we thank him for all he's done. I believe thankfulness brings peace. Because automatically, when you begin to thank God for what he's already done, you are saying he's done it before, he can do it again. I thank you, Lord, that you look after me. I thank you that you never leave me or forsake me. I thank you that you have heard my prayer and the needs that I've brought to you. I am thankful, Lord, that I can bring it to you. Thankfulness brings a peace that passes understanding. Maybe you've lost your peace. Maybe this week, peace left you once or twice. You get your peace back, not by dwelling on the problems, but by dwelling on thanking him. You see, dwelling on problems doesn't bring peace. But dwelling on the peace giver and being thankful to him does. Now, I can't say I've always done this perfectly over the years. I've had times where I didn't feel too peaceful either. Times where peace wasn't really flowing, if you will, and times where I forgot to be thankful. I remember one time, there was a lot of times we drove all over the place with older vehicles, and there was a trip many years ago, we were heading to California in an old 15-passenger white van. It had, you know, the two bucket seats up front and three bench seats. And we had the van loaded, and we were heading to California, and it was an older van, and I'd like to say I had great peace, but, you know, I was kind of concerned, you know, are we going to make it all the way there and all the way back? God had never failed us before, but that was just kind of, you know, and we'd fuel up, and I'd check the oil, you know, and it's old enough, sometimes you had to add a little oil, but it wasn't, you know, smoke coming out the back or anything. It was a good machine. And this one spot, we were down in the States already, and, you know, we'd come a great distance, but we finished where we had stopped, and we headed off down the road, and as we're cruising down the highway, all of a sudden I hear clunk, 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 and I'm like, oh, no. My peace was gone. Clunk, 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 took all my peace away. And, you know, I could see oil. I was sure I was going to see oil pouring out of the bottom of the engine when I got out, because, I mean, that was the clunk sound. I wasn't thankful at all, and I had no peace. I pulled over to the side of the road with a van load of people. See, we always took a van load, and it seemed like we just had enough money for gas, and that was it. So you couldn't have a, you know, mechanical issue that you couldn't fix yourself. We pulled over. I got out with no peace. The first thing I did was look under. I was so sure I was going to see oil. Good thing I didn't get my faith, right? Like, there was no oil. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, no oil. So I went to the front. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to see up here when I opened the hood. And I went to unlatch the hood, and the hood went clunk. The hood hadn't latched properly at the gas station where I checked the oil. The van was totally fine. It's just old, and you had to hit the hood hard. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. And that old van took us all the way to California. And we even have pictures of that van inside a great big tree, the redwood trees. There's one that's cut out and you could back in there that the van actually fit in the tree. It was that big. So I've had times where there's no peace, and sometimes what we're seeing and hearing and feeling, peace can leave, but we need to be thankful because God hasn't failed us before. He's not going to fail us again. He is not a failing God. That is one thing I have seen. If you are in his will, if you are being obedient, he doesn't fail you. He just can't. It's who he is. You see, being thankful definitely brings peace. And I want to encourage you, when your peace is left, begin to thank him. If things are not going quite how you want, then thank him for how he's going to bring it about. Lord, I thank you that you know the expenses that we have, and you're going to bring it in. You're going to give me the hours of work I need, whatever it is. But begin to thank him, and it's amazing how peace begins to come. You see, being thankful also positions us to receive more. This is important. Being thankful positions us to receive more. Now, in the natural, you can kind of see this a little bit if you think about kids. And, you know, if you give kids some candy and they're like, that's not the candy I wanted. And then you give another kid the candy. Oh, thank you so much for the candy. And you give the other one and they're like, oh, thanks for the candy. Next time you come around to give candy, you're not looking for the kid that was like, I don't like that kind of candy, are you? You see, being thankful automatically causes a giver to feel like, this is awesome, let me do it again. If you've ever helped somebody out in need and they were unthankful, you weren't quick to do it again, were you? I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen. You help somebody who's in need and they kind of like don't like what you did. If you've ever had that happen, it feels really bad. I have had it happen. You're not quick to do it again. But when you help someone, you know, you feel like this isn't even much, but you know, I just wanted to give you this $20. To you, it feels like, should I even do it? It's not much. And the person is just like, thank you so much. This is a real blessing to me. And you're like, wow. I want to do that again. Well, that's how it is in our natural circumstance. Here's your challenge for this week. Now, you can give someone $20 or you can pay for someone's food in the line behind you. I don't care what you do, but do it with a heart that understands, hey, I want to be like my Heavenly Father, and he's a giver. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to get some joy out of it. But let me get back to being thankful. You see, being thankful positions you and I to receive more. So when we're thankful to the Lord, when we're thankful for our circumstance, when we're thankful for our family, when we're thankful for what he's already brought us, we automatically open ourselves or position ourselves to receive more. When I say position yourself, maybe look at it like this. There's a saying about being tight-fisted. You know, you just hold on like this. You are not positioned to receive when you're like this, holding on to your stuff. You're not positioned to receive, are you? I'm like this, I want to make sure nobody touches my money. And you hold like this. If someone walks along and they try to hand you something, you're not in a position to receive it, are you? Not at all. But when you have a thankful heart, a heart that you're not stingy and you're not closed off, but you are like this, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the blessings you pour out. And Lord, I want to be obedient to you. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do with it. Did you see how I'm already positioned to receive at any time? Being thankful is one of those things that helps position you. John 6, verse 9 is a great story that, of course, if you've been here long, you've heard me read before. This is the story where everybody is listening to Jesus on the hillside and they are hungry. And Jesus says to his disciples, you feed them. And they're like, how are we going to feed them? We don't have enough money and, you know, there's no way. And then Jesus says this in verse 9. What do you have? That's actually verse 8. He says, what do you have? Oh boy. We're talking about being thankful here. You see, the beginning of miracles, the beginning of receiving abundance is already knowing what you have and being thankful for it. But they weren't. They're like, we don't have enough. That's an unthankful attitude, isn't it? I mean, you could be like, well, it's just factual. Because it was factual, wasn't it? But if you're always only thinking about the lack and not what already has been provided, you don't have a thankful heart. It's like that saying, seeing the cup half empty or half full. Thankful people see what they have and don't count it as nothing. What you have has been provided and it's good. And it is the substance of more. You see, they finally say, well, there's a young boy who came up here and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Let's read it. Verse 9. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Oh, those disciples. So unthankful. Thankfulness positions you to receive more. Unthankfulness stops you right where you are. If Jesus had left it to the disciples, they would have just sent everybody home hungry. And they would have been like, oh, this boy has just 5 loaves and 2 stupid fishes. Like, this is a waste of time. What has God given you that you've been looking at as though it's a waste of time? You're looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. Thankfulness automatically looks at what you have, and you're thankful for it. Oh, I wish I had a better truck. What do you have right now? Have you been thankful for it? Are you doing your best with it because that's what he gave you at this point? Or are you expecting the engine to blow out at any minute? That was me. What are you thankful for? Jesus doesn't let the disciples ruin it. He knows that what they have, and if they treat this with thankfulness, it is going to position them for something great. And Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone were numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God. Did you guys catch that? Did you catch that? He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, which was not even close to enough. But he didn't say this is not enough like his disciples said. What good is this? He said, oh, this is perfect. This is something God has blessed us with, and now we can be thankful and watch it multiply. I think I said at the beginning of this year that God spoke clearly that this will be a year of multiplication. Multiplication happens with thankful people. You are not going to see multiplication if you can't be thankful for what you already have. And Jesus thanked the Lord for what they had, and it says that then he gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Interesting. 1 full basket for each disciple who thought there wasn't enough. Boy, God is good, isn't he? He wanted them to have a lesson that they would never forget, and he's so good and generous. Even though they were unthankful, he said, you know what? I want you to never forget this moment. What you thought wasn't enough with thankfulness became more than enough. And here's a goodie bag to go home after the party. I don't know. Here's your basket. You know, God has blessed us in many, many ways here at the church. And over the years, I can think back to all the great blessings that God has poured out on myself, my wife, and our family. We were in evangelism ministry for years and seemed like, you know, we just had a little bit, but we were always thankful. We never complained about it. We were thankful for whatever we had. And honestly, I love bannock and soup. I do. And we were just thankful for whatever God would bless. And it's funny, if you were here last week, I talked about the purple car God blessed us with. You know, I went home and I was thinking about it, and I was actually surprised. And I thought, Lord, maybe I'm not thankful enough. But over the years, we have been given 5 different vehicles. And you know what? If you'd asked me, I'd have been like, I think there was a couple. There was 5. I'm like, what? And I don't ever remember complaining about a vehicle. I don't ever remember asking someone for a vehicle. I do remember praying and asking the Lord for a vehicle once or twice. And I thought about that and I was like, wow. By the way, 4 of those were vans and 1 was a purple car. But you know that white van that I mentioned that we were driving to California? That van was given to us. We didn't pay a penny for it. And that van was a great blessing. We drove it to California. We drove it to the Yukon. We drove it here, there, and everywhere on the back roads. And it was a blessing. And it made me stop and think this week as I prepared, Lord, I am thankful. You blessed us so much. I've even forgotten how many times. I remember one time we had a van. This was one time we bought a van. It was a used van. And we had payments on it. And we were out in the Whitewater area on a road into someone's place, and a rock hit the oil pan. But I didn't know a rock hit the oil pan until we were almost all the way to town. We were coming in to go to church. But I knew we hit the oil pan when we were 3/4 of the way to town from Whitewater, and the van did do the clunk, clunk, clunk thing. And that van was done, and you know, I remember thinking, boy, this is not good. But I was like, well, Lord, you got this. And we just called someone for a ride to church. And we left the van there on the side of the road till after, because church matters that much to me. And no, I wasn't the pastor at that time. I just love getting in God's house. And I found something out. When you worship in God's house and you're thankful to him, he has a solution already. And we were never without wheels. That's all I can tell you. God bless abundantly. So that's being thankful. When you're thankful, it fills you with peace. When you're thankful, you position yourself to receive more. So start to get thankful for what God has given you now and get ready for more. Let's look at giving praise, because so we're talking about beginning your prayer time with, Lord, I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you for the home. I'm thankful, Lord, for my kids. I don't know if you want more kids right now if you do that. But anyways, position yourself for amazing kids that grow. Just be thankful for what he's blessed. Thank you for how well my kids are doing in school. Thank you, Lord, for what they're accomplishing. Be thankful for where they're at and what they're accomplishing. Lord, I am thankful for the teachers you've given my child. I'm thankful for them giving it their best. And I thank you, Lord, as they give their best, they're just going to accomplish great things. You're positioning yourself. You're opening a door for God to do more in their lives. By the way, what kid wants to do more when they feel their parent is angry at them and disappointed with anything they try? They will not do more. As a matter of fact, they'll probably do less and throw a little rebellion in there on the side because they can't make you happy anyhow. It's just a little parent note there. Find something to be thankful for that they're doing right now and they will bloom. They will be like, Dad really liked what I did there. I'm gonna do more. Mom was really thankful. That's something I want to do. But complain and run them down and tell them how stupid they are. I can guarantee you 100% they won't do better in that area. They just won't. Well, I'm going to take away their phone. I'm going to take away their privileges. Sure, that'll get them to do something until they get it back. I have no idea why I'm talking about this. You know, it's not like I'm the parent who got it all figured out. But I just feel Holy Spirit saying this is important. Maybe there's some younger parents here and God just wants to show you this before your kids become teenagers and blow the roof off because you didn't figure out how to be thankful. You want to see them be blessed? You want to see them really do well? Then begin to be thankful for the things they do right. Be thankful for where they're at right now. All right, so let me go to my next point. That was being thankful. We also talked about giving praise when you begin to pray. So giving praise, praise is just praising God for who he is. Yes, you can even praise him for what he's done. You can also praise him for what he's going to do. This is fun. Acts 16:23. This is the story of Paul and Silas in jail. And I mean, it is a great story of praise. It says, after they had been badly beaten, they were put in jail, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. The jailer did as he was told. He put them deep inside the jail and chained their feet to heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God. While the other prisoners listened, suddenly a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened and the chains fell from all the prisoners. Here's the key to this kind of praise. This kind of praise that is actually faith in action. There is a praise that can be in your prayers that is faith in action, and faith in action always produces results. I want to show you this because most people know how to praise God for what he already did. You see, Paul and Silas praised God while they were still in pain, and they praised God while they were still in chains. Who praises God in that situation? Who praises God when their back is bleeding, they're in chains in the middle of a dungeon? Who praises God then? Some crazy Christians, that's who. Because crazy Christians have found out that you can praise God in any situation. You can praise God even when it hurts. And when you learn to praise him, no matter where, when, and what's going on, I guarantee it becomes faith in action. And faith in action sees miracles. Faith in action sees God show up. And God showed up for Paul and Silas with an earthquake that set them free. But they didn't just get set free. Then they get to see the jailer and his entire house accept Christ as their Savior and get baptized. And none of it would have happened if they hadn't praised in the pain, if they hadn't praised when they were still in chains. If you're waiting for everything to be perfect and all your prayers to be answered before you praise, you won't praise. Learn to praise right where you are. I have a story, again, it's the white 15-passenger van story. Different trip, same van. This time we were going to the Yukon, and that old van did good. We had a trailer behind the van loaded with stuff this time. We drove all the way to the Yukon. We had meetings, totally different stories, so many from there. On the way back, we were about halfway between Fort Nelson, B.C. and Fort St. John, B.C. And I heard clunk, 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 clunk again. That van made some noises. It was a 1983 van, and we were driving it in the 2005-ish area there. So it had some miles, but it was a good machine. But there was the clunk, clunk, clunk. And we, this time, had the van loaded with youth. And in the trailer, we had tents and all the stuff we needed. And I'm like, okay, that sound, I kind of know that sounds like it's right under my seat. That's probably a U-joint. And so I just pulled off in the ditch. There was this amazing flat area on the ditch at that spot, just off the highway. I just pulled in, got out of the van. I looked under, and sure enough, the axle was barely hanging on. And I just told the youth, I said, well, we're going to camp here tonight, because it was already in the evening. I was trying to make it home late. I was just going to drive and drive. But I said, I guess we get to camp here. So you guys set up your tents. And while they set up their tents, my father-in-law was also with us, and he always had a toolbox with him. We found a socket the exact right size to bang out the U-joint. And so I thought, well, if we're going to bang out one, the other one's probably... We took out both U-joints. By then, everybody had their camp set up. They went to sleep. And I just thanked the Lord for the solution. I said, Lord, you got a solution. And I knew that he always looks after us. This is going to be okay. We got the U-joint out. I woke up at 7 a.m. the next morning, and I went out on the highway. And for the first time in my life, I hitchhiked. I've never hitchhiked, but I've seen people do it. I know you got to stick your thumb out. So the first semi that came along, I stuck my thumb out, and the first semi pulled over and picked me up and took me to Fort Nelson. And I asked him, you know, could you drop me off? Or I need to go, you know, do you know where there's a auto parts store? Because I need some U-joints. And he's like, I don't know, but I'll take you for breakfast at this thing, and there'll be, you can call a taxi to get you to a U-joint. So that's what we did. We had breakfast. I got a ride. I got breakfast. Then got a taxi, got a U-joint. After I picked up the U-joint, I came outside of the store where I got the U-joint, and there was this really fancy van sitting there. And I thought, I wonder if they're going back the way I came. And I walked over, and it was a Mennonite family, and I explained what happened. I need a ride back. Sure, hop in. And I hopped into this air-conditioned van, heading back to that white van in the ditch. I got back to the white van, got under the van, pounded those U-joints back in, and by the time we had it back together, the teenagers were still sleeping in their tents. But anyways, you guys know, teenagers can sleep for a while, and I didn't think we should wake them up until we were ready to move. So God had a solution, and I thought about it. I was already praising him, and I had peace that he's got this. And if it means I get to practice hitchhiking, I'll do it. And I think for those youth, they'll never forget. They just thought they camped. I mean, they knew we were under the van, but they have no idea what happened. We got back in that van and we drove some more, and God totally looked after us, and we weren't complaining. You know, I was blessed to marry my wife, Beatrice. Their family didn't complain. You know, and I was like, yeah, we don't complain, do we? We just thank the Lord. We enjoy life. Every situation that we end up in is one where he can show off if we let him. Or we can just complain and be angry. It's way funner, way more exciting to, when you get in a situation, instead start praising him. Lord, I thank you. You are so good. I praise you that you have an answer for this situation. And you're going to show up. And then say, okay, now I'll do whatever I can. And you just do your part and he does the rest. Did you ever notice how complaining and anger kind of shuts people down? When you close off the door and shut yourself down, you can't proceed to the next thing God has. Often the situations that we come into, God is working on us, getting us ready for a next. And he wants you to become thankful and know how to praise him no matter what, and he'll take you to the next. I know some of you might be in situations right now. While we're going through this message, you should be thinking of ways you can thank him. What can you thank him for? You know, maybe you haven't found something good to say to your son for a long time because you're always focused on his messes. Think of something to be thankful for. Think of something to praise God for. And then tell him. Praise is our faith in action, which produces results, produces miracles, produces amazing things with God. Praise is also a weapon that defeats the enemy. Oh, there's nothing better than praise. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22. Israel is in trouble again. The kings of the enemies have gathered together. They've made one humongous army, and they are going to take over and kill the Israelites. At least that's their plan. And Jehoshaphat says, we need to pray about this. We got to get together and pray. This is not looking good. They pray, and the Lord speaks through a man of God and says, you don't have to worry. God's got this. You can stand still and see the salvation of God. Get ready for it. And you know what they do? They get ready for it. They get ready for it by deciding to praise God. And they take the singers, musicians, and they put them in front of the army. And then they head out towards the enemy with the musicians and singers in front, praising God, saying, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. What are they doing? They are praising God for what was told to them, that they already have the victory. The Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. He's not going to allow us to be defeated by the enemy. Woo! And they head out. And as they began to praise, verse 22, now when they began to sing and praise, you see, God spoke the word that the answer was coming, that they would not be defeated, but the answer began when they praised. This is important. I think I already said praise is a faith in action. Praise is an enemy, is a weapon that defeats the enemy. And praise happens before, in this case, that they see the answer. They've got the word and they begin to praise, but they don't have the answer yet, do they? You see, that enemy was still spread out all over the land. They just heard a word that they won't be defeated. They heard a word that God's got this, and now they're praising him because he's got it. But the enemy's all still there. But when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. These enemy kings that have banded together end up fighting and destroying each other, and Israel doesn't even have to fight. They just had to praise. But I want you to see something. Just like Paul and Silas prayed before the answer and praised before the answer, these people praised before the answer came. You need to praise him for the answer that hasn't come yet. Okay? This is faith, but it's also unbelievable what's going to happen because it is a weapon that causes confusion to the enemy. Think about it for a minute. The devil is confused when people are going through hurt and pain and they're like, thank you, God, we love you, you got this. You want to confuse the enemy? When he thinks he's taking you out, you get up and go, yeah, Jesus, let's go. Don't ever give in to his plan. They praised when the enemy was still a fierce multitude. I don't know what you're facing, how big it is, what it looks like, but why don't you praise him now? He can deal with it. Praise him that he's already working on it. Praise him that he has a solution that you don't yet see. I remember a situation where this happened to us. And wouldn't you know it, the situation that popped in my mind was that trip to California in that white van. But this time we were on our way back. And we were in just coming out of the States into southern BC. That's the trek we were taking. And it was kind of getting a little late again, and I was doing the same thing where I was going to get home no matter what. I guess I did that a lot. And there was some stuff. My wife was actually taking a shift driving, and I was in the passenger side, and we were driving along, and my door was rattling, making noise, so I opened it up and shut it a couple times, and then it was shut. I told you, this was an older van, but it went. It did what needed to be done. And then we drove for, I don't know, a couple hours, and we could, you know, somebody in the back seat was like, something doesn't sound right back here. I think your tire's flat. We pulled over, and the tire wasn't flat, but it had a big bulge in it. I'm like, well, you know, I think there's a gas station not too far. So we pulled over in a driveway, and I got out of the passenger side and came back, checked. Yeah, we'll make it to the gas station. We changed out the tire with the bulge, and we're about to leave the gas station, and by this time it's dark. And my wife, we've now switched spots. She's in her side, and she's like, where's my purse? I said, what do you mean, where's your purse? Well, my purse, it was over here. She says, it has our money, it has my camera. She says, my camera with all the pictures. All the pictures from our entire trip was on her camera. And there, she had about $500 in there. She says, I don't even care about the money, but the pictures for our whole trip. I said, well, I don't know. I opened that door hours ago. It could have fell out there. It could have fell out in that driveway. I said, but we don't have hours and hours or days of time to turn and go the other way. I said, we're going to pray instead, and we're going to praise God. We're going to thank him. And I looked back at everybody and said, okay, we're going to pray. And I started praising the Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you and praise you that wherever that purse is, you know where it is. We don't, but you do. And I praise you, Lord, that some way, somehow, that purse is coming back to us with nothing missing. And I started up the van and started driving home. Everybody in that van was quiet. A week later, we got a little box in the mail. We opened the box, and in it was a letter and my wife's purse. All the cash was in the purse. The expensive camera with all the pictures was in the purse. Nothing was touched. And in the letter, a lady had wrote, we found this purse. We're sorry we had to open it up to find an address on the driver's license. We put everything back. And they mailed it to my wife. Oh, yeah. We could have sat there and complained and got angry and everybody fighting and spent the next 2 days. Well, we couldn't have. We didn't have money for two more days. We wouldn't have ate. And the $500 she had was not with us. I'll tell you what, praising God is the best thing you can do when you don't know what else to do. Just praise him and get ready because he is a good God. Get ready when the enemy is trying to bring you down, trying to cause issues and problems. Just praise the Lord and the enemy is defeated every single time. We kept that little box that the purse came in, and we called that our answered prayer box. And every time God answered a prayer, we wrote it on a note and threw it in that box. Yeah, devil, you lose. Because God answers prayer. Joshua 6 and verse 20. You remember Joshua taking the Israelites into the promised land, and they crossed the Jordan River, and the first city they need to deal with is Jericho. But Jericho has giant walls and it's impenetrable. There's no way in. And Joshua gets his orders from the Lord, and the Lord says, march around it once for 7 days, but on the seventh day, march around 7 times. And then Joshua says this, on the seventh day when they're marching around, he says, on the seventh time, when we're done that seventh thing, you're going to shout because God has given us the city. That's called praise before the answer came. You know, praise can be after. It can be about just who God is, but I really felt God saying, do these. There's some people here tonight. You need an answer. You need to praise first. You're saying, well, I'm going to praise after. Praise first. And you'll get to praise after too. You'll get to dance after, but you praise first. And so they went around. Can you imagine being part of that group? The priests are going along blowing trumpets in front. But then it's like, no, you got to be completely silent. Don't make a sound. They were told, don't make a sound. Marching. Marching. Some of them probably want to fight. Use their sword. Do something. Marching. And finally, they're told, you're going to shout with all your might because the Lord has given us the city. So verse 20, the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This was a miracle. It was a miracle that came about from two things, obedience and praise. Let me say that again. This miracle of taking a city came about through obedience and praise. You might have something that you're wondering how we're going to get through. I'm going to give you two keys, obedience and praise. You don't quit, and you learn to praise before you see the answer. You praise him for what's next. You praise him for what's coming. Praise him. They shouted the victory that the city was theirs when the walls were still standing tall. Somebody's going to get this before tonight's over. They did the shout like they'd already won. You ever shouted like you've already won and nothing has changed yet? If you haven't, get ready to start, because God wants to work through your praise. When I think about that, I think about our town, Slave Lake. You know, we want to see our community change. We want to see people come and give their lives to Christ. We want to see drunk people set free. We want to see an addict set free. We want to see broken people made whole. We want to see people that are depressed and giving up have a hope and a joy. We want to see a community that loves the Lord, that shines so bright that word goes out all over about Slave Lake. Miracles happen there all the time. All the churches are full. People are excited about serving God. The police have nothing to do because criminals have given their lives to him. Police spend their time going to church. We have a couple that come here. What are you believing God to do for Slave Lake? I have a little key for you. Let's be obedient and let's praise him for what hasn't been done yet, but's coming. Let's praise him like it's already done. In other words, are you willing to shout and say, I thank you, God, you've given us Slave Lake. Slave Lake is yours. It is free lake. It is people set free. It is people on fire for you. You're willing to praise him before it happens, you're going to get to see it happen. If you're willing to praise him before it happens, you're going to get to see it happen. Yeah, I'm repeating myself. This is important. This is so important, and it's also hard to do. That's why I'm pushing it and saying it again and again, because it's hard to do. I know that some of you are going to smile at me while I'm preaching, but are you going to go home and do it in your situation? That's what I want. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you like, amen, good preaching. When you go home, are you going to praise him for the situation you're in? That's what I'm pushing for. Because I know something. God gives a word and his word doesn't return void. And the fact that he's asking us to talk about this where you're thankful and where you praise him in your prayer time, he wants to show up for you. And he wants to show off for you. You don't think so? Scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He wants to show himself strong for you. What's a heart that's perfect toward God? Have you ever thought about that? That's a heart. First of all, you've been saved, and that is a heart that praises God before he even does it. I need to get on to my last stuff here because I do need to wrap up. You see, I'm thankful to the Lord that he has given us Slave Lake. I'm going to say it right now. I am thankful, Lord, that you have given us Slave Lake. I praise you that Slave Lake will be saved. I praise you even now that, Lord, they come in by the multitude to your kingdom. I praise you, Lord, for miracles that people have never even heard about happening in Slave Lake. I declare a town that is so bright with your glory that it is heard across the world. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord, ahead of time that every church is so full there's no room. And that church has to happen every space there is. God is good. Oh, I don't know about you, but that feels so good. So good. Beginning your prayer with thanksgiving and praise is the right way to enter his presence. When you enter the presence of God, so here's what prayer is. Prayer is communicating with the Lord. Well, the first thing you want to do is enter his presence to communicate. Am I right? Or do you just want to talk to the wall? I'm like, nobody wants to talk to the wall or the ceiling. You want to enter his presence. Well, you enter his presence by thanking and praising him. Then start communicating the rest. And when you enter the presence of the Lord, guess what happens? Well, of course, just in case you forgot, coming into his presence was in Psalm 100, but also Psalm 95. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. That's how you get into his presence. Thank him, praise him. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Listen to Psalm 16. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Haven't had a lot of joy lately? This kind of life has no pleasure? Then I have a feeling you have not been thankful. I have a feeling you need to begin praising him. Thank him. Praise him. Because in his presence, there's joy. In his presence, there's healing. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present. In other words, he was present. The presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, the very presence of God is his Holy Spirit. And where his Holy Spirit is, there is the power to heal. So come into his presence. You need healing? You're sick? There's some issues? Then in your prayer time, start thanking him and praising him for what he wants to do. Come into his healing presence. Don't be like, well, yeah, I got this sickness. I always get this at this time of year. That's your faith talking, and guess what's going to happen? You're always going to get that at that time of year. I used to say that. I'd be like, yeah, I always get a bad flu at this time of year. Did you know that every year I always got a bad flu at that time of year? Always. And one day I realized, what am I doing? Why am I saying that? And so I changed it. I'm like, I am not getting sick at this time every year. I don't need to get sick. Sickness isn't from God. Why am I declaring it over my life? And I said, I don't get sick at this time of year ever. And I do not need a bad flu once a year. I said, I thank you, Lord, that you're the God that heals me. You have made me healthy. You keep me healthy. And I'm not getting sick. In Jesus' name, I quit getting that flu at that time of year. I am telling you the truth. I don't get sick. I had to go to the doctor here a week or two ago. So we went to the doctor, and on your records here, you haven't been to this hospital since 2014. So we had to do some health stuff. And it turns out I'm still healthy because God is good. Yeah, God is good. You see, in his presence, there's healing. Let's receive it. Let's get into his presence by thanking him and praising him. When you feel an ache or a pain, don't be like, oh, I bet that's arthritis. You know, you feel, oh, that's probably that old injury coming back. Quit it. When you feel an ache or pain, be like, that's not supposed to be there. Because God said he heals me. God said I can walk in health. So I command that pain, get out. You're trespassing. I praise you, Lord. I'm well. Woo. Oh, he's good. I'm starting to feel like I want to praise all by myself up here. When you get thankful and you begin to praise, you start to remember things that he's done. You start to see things that he's about to do. You start to realize, oh my goodness, I didn't know that I hadn't been to the hospital since 2014. I was taking for granted, actually, how healthy he's kept me. Have you heard me give him praise for how he kept me healthy? No, because it was just like it just happens. So many things, just like the vehicles. I didn't even realize. We got to get thankful. We got to give him praise where praise is due because he's worthy of it. And guess what? You start doing that, and what's going to happen? You're positioning yourself for more. I praise the Lord ahead of time for our community coming in to church. Lord, we don't want people from other churches. We want those who aren't yet going anywhere. We want those who have quit going. We want those who don't even know you yet. We say, Lord, thank you. Oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing God can't do. Nothing. There's nobody too far for him. There's nobody he can't reach. Nobody. Nobody. You think you have somebody he can't reach, then start praising him for how he's going to get them. In his presence is love and forgiveness. Let me finish. In his presence is love and forgiveness. You get into his presence by thanking him and praising him. That's why we do music at the start, and we praise and worship the Lord. We thank him. We praise him. We feel his presence. It's doing a work in our hearts before I ever even speak the word. 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. If you enter the presence of God, you're entering love. Automatically, anytime you enter his presence, you will feel his love, because that's who he is. Luke 5:17, love and forgiveness. I started with this verse. Let me give you the rest of the story. It said, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and they let him down through the roof, through the tiling, into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Oh, my goodness. The presence of the Lord is the answer every time. You see, in his presence, there's healing. The same presence that brings healing brings forgiveness. And did you know that forgiveness is even more important than healing? Like, how do I know that? Jesus dealt with the more important thing first. Think about it. If someone gets healed but doesn't accept Christ and get forgiven, they're going to be healed for a while until they get sick and die and end up in hell. Well, that was nice for a while, but this is eternal. And both are important, yes. And God will do both. But forgiveness is the most important thing there is. And Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And of course, you probably know the rest of the story. The Pharisees get mad and he says, oh, the Son of Man can forgive sins and he can heal. And just so you know, take up your bed, get up and walk. The healing came second. We want to see people forgiven. But you see, his forgiveness isn't just for us. It's for everybody out there. And you and I have the ability to take God's presence with us to others. It can bring healing. It can bring his love. It can bring peace. And it can bring forgiveness. I want to encourage you. Take his presence with you. Get into your private prayer time. Let his presence be on you and then take it with you to others because he's going to bring them in. But I want to pray with the congregation. I'm not going to do the salvation prayer, but I want to pray for you guys as a congregation. I really knew when I was preparing this message that God really wanted me to push where you become thankful and praising him before the answer. And this is not easy again, and it's not something people do. So you'll have to practice it. You'll have to work at it. But what you'll find out when you first say it, you maybe aren't feeling it, but all of a sudden, you're going to realize, oh my goodness, he is doing it. Because you'll feel, it's like what we call a witness in your spirit. So when you first start saying, you might not feel that. That's okay. Start praising anyways. But when you feel the witness in your spirit, you know, oh my goodness, something happened in the spirit and it's coming. It's on the way. Okay? So I want to just pray that over you guys. Just this really unbelievable sureness that you can praise him no matter what. Lord, I thank you for each person that came on this Saturday night. Lord, each one being faithful to come and to worship you and to hear the word on a beautiful Saturday evening when they could be somewhere else, but they've chose to come here. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out on them for their faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you would pour into them for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would answer the prayer, the need. Lord, I feel there's some big needs for some people. There's some situations that have caused them to want to complain or caused them to be discouraged and feel like, why isn't it working out? And Lord, I just pray even now that you would give them that thankful heart, that you would cause praise to overflow them in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word that you will give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, anybody feeling heavy right now, I command it be broken. And I say, let praise well up within them. Lord, I declare this week, every person in this house will take time to praise you even before the answer comes. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give God praise.